You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Busy Thursday. We are live from Giants camp. The Mets and the Yankees have been very active on this trade deadline Thursday, and we'll continue to keep you posted and give you instant reactions. The New York Mets acquiring Cedric Mullins from the Orioles. The Yankees getting David Bednar from the Pirates. Jake Bird from the Rockies. We will talk to Joe Schenck coming up in about 20 minutes, but let's take a window seat to Giants training camp, sponsored by Windorama's First Down Deals, 30% off your installation project.
One of the interesting things out of last year with the New York Giants was that Brian Daboll, the head coach, Dabes, was calling plays, but this year it looks to fully be back into the offensive coordinator's hands. And it's interesting when you watch how Dabes now interacts. Mike Kafka, obviously, the offensive coordinator. Dabes interacts with this team. He's all over the field. And most specifically, as Jackson Dart said, he's in his hip pocket. He's right. Really coaching the young kid because that's what he's known for, going back to this Josh Allen days. And Mike Kafka has been handed back the reins,
interesting,
I should say, to call plays. So we'll see if that frees up the coaching. It frees up Mike Kafka to help with Russell Wilson and this offense to be a lot more explosive.
Interesting. The Yankees just acquired Jake Bird, and I said to Sean, I was like, I remember that when the Mets faced the Rockies, I wanted the Mets to kidnap him and bring him back because he was having a good year. And then Tiki said his ERA is 4.7. Mm-hmm. So I started questioning my memory. I went back and looked at his season. Good news and bad news. The good news is I have a good memory. The bad news is, when the Mets faced the Rockies back in June, Jake Bird, after pitching his scoreless inning in which he struck out the side, mm-hmm, hence why I was like, ooh, kidnap the right guy, lowered his ERA to 1.49.
Oh, wow. He was great then.
Over the last month, Jake Bird has been hot garbage. He has given up 15 runs in his last five innings of work.
Wait, is he hurt?
I don't know, and I think there's got to be a further investigation. Now, I'm not saying this is a bad trade. Jake Bird has like four more years of control, but it is noticeable without watching Rockies Orioles, Rockies Cardinals, all these games, that Jake Bird went from having this great year, mm-hmm, to now being awful for a long period of time. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, he's been really bad for a month, so take that for what it's worth.
We can't have Bird laying an egg here with the Yankees. He's got to come through. Mm.
That's your response, a joke?
No. Look, no, I'll say this. He struggled. Relievers are finicky, right? Devin Williams just blew a save last night. The real analysis is he's pitched in Colorado. How the hell do those numbers translate here? And guys go through a bad couple weeks. Luke Weaver went through a couple bad weeks. Now we trust him again, right?
And Jake Bird, in the last month, these are real stats. I can't believe this. In the last month, here are Jake Bird's last five innings. Five innings, 13 hits, 14 runs given up.
Oh, who was that against?
Three home runs. A bunch of teams. I don't remember. I got to go through all of them. But he has a 23.40 ERA in the last month.
Okay.
So he was having a good year. And, oh, here's the other one that's going to confuse you.
But that's relievers in Major League Baseball, right?
I got one more stat for you. On the road, Jake Bird, 7 ERA. At home, 2.48.
Well, that makes no sense.
So he's giving you complete opposite numbers when it comes to home and the road.
Maybe he doesn't sleep well in hotel beds.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, we have no idea.
I don't have a reason. I'm just giving you the information. That's all. You do what you want with it.
We have another big deal.
Really?
Fine Sands on being reported out of Houston. Carlos Correa is going back to the Astros.
Wow. Wow.
Getting the band back together in Houston.
Carlos Correa.
It's only two of them. Calm down, Tommy.
Well, they're a new front man they need.
Correa back to the – we talked about this yesterday as a possibility, and I asked you, would it rekindle – the Astro-Yankee rivalry. I mean, it does.
Well, it is if Jake Bird's given up a launching missile from Correa.
That's a big one by the Astros. They just got the terrible news with their third baseman being out for the year, and Correa's willing to go to Houston and play third base.
Right, he has a no-trade clause that we talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it yesterday, but we read about it yesterday, where he was talking to his friends, not necessarily his agent or the Astros, about being willing to waive his no-trade to go back to the Astros because Isaac Paredes
is out for the year.
Out for the year, so
like tore his hamstring muscle.
Right,
which sounds
which is hard to do, by the way, for a baseball player. I mean, you think about it. Like, when are you full out?
Yeah,
as a baseball player, but he did, and that thing's going to take a long time to heal. So going back to third base, something he was willing to do, also with the Mets when that conversation was going on, looks like it's going to happen.
Wow, this has been a hell of a trade deadline, really, over the last 48 hours, man. It has lived up to the hype. Let's get to some of your phone calls. We'll hear from Joe Shane, GM of the Giants, in just a few minutes. 888-808-1019. Let's head out to Pittsburgh. Let's get a David Bednar perspective.
Ooh.
From an actual Pirates fan. They do exist. Russell is calling from Pittsburgh. Russell, thank you very much for sharing your wisdom. What's up?
What should we expect?
Well, you should quit from Bednar. He's fantastic. Like, great guy. All this, yeah, I could. The Pirates are the Pirates. Well, I forget which one of you said half hour ago. The Pirates could have done better here. They have failed to develop, I don't know, 4 or 5 straight center first base projects, so I wouldn't even worry about who you gave up. Just look at Andy Rodriguez and Henry Davis and Joey Bart. Figure it on the list. But as for Bednar, he's fantastic. You guys are going to love him. Whether or not you use him as setup reliever, I don't think, or closer, it doesn't really matter too much. The Pirates are just, quite frankly, an embarrassment to baseball with how they operate things. Whatever. They did what they were going to do with Bednar, and now they're going to, whatever. They're trying, 2026 is what matters, allegedly. But anyway.
You sound really disgruntled.
I mean, how can you not?
I feel for you, man.
Because they don't care. Well, because everyone's talking about a lockout in 2027, right? So
yeah.
If that's the case, next year's the last full season of Paul Skenes in a Pirates jersey. Because at that point, oh, well, you just got to trade him because you got to recoup value. But
hey, you want Spencer Jones?
You guys
get all
excited.
You want Spencer Jones? We'll take Skenes off your hands.
Will Bednar still be here when Skenes is a Yankee?
Oh, boy. You guys
are – look.
Yeah, that we appreciate the call. I think you guys were being mean to him.
No, what do you mean?
You're just mocking him even more.
No, he was screaming and yelling. We were trying to make him feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Actually, I don't know if
I really feel bad for Pirates fans.
Yeah.
It was a moment. Was it a decade ago or so when McCutchen was at his prime?
Like, oh, they were good.
He was like, man, this team could be good for a minute. They had who was the manager? I'm forgetting his name. It just felt like a baseball manager. And I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head.
Pirates manager and they were making the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Was it Jim Tracy? I don't think it was.
No, it wasn't Tracy. No. It was...
I forgot. It was 10 years ago. It was a long time ago when they were in.
Why can't
Jim
I remember?
Jim Leland? No.
That was not Jim Leland. That was in the 90s, buddy.
I forgot.
You baseball people are killing me.
Clint Hurdle? Derek Shelton? Those are the last two managers before Don Kelly.
It was not Derek Shelton. No.
So then it was Clint.
That was Clint. It was definitely Clint. Because I feel like I was on one of his mailing lists.
What? You were on a Clint Hurdle mailing list?
I don't know how I got on.
Never knew that about you.
But it was just like, it was a text mailing list.
All I'm saying
to... And it would
to,
give these motivational shit. I was like,
that's
oh, this
sweet.
Dude's a hell of a dude.
The problem I had is that guy was spilling his heart out and you just joined in. It's like if Sean was having a meltdown about the Giants and I just started like digging more. No, you just got to let him die on the vine.
Yes. No, but see, in that case... He didn't want us to say, no, it'll be all right.
Right.
Your Pirates are going to be fine. He wanted us to join in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted.
Look, I'll save everybody the time. We don't give a rat's ass about the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Unless you're going to give us Paul Skenes.
Right. It just matters what you get for the player. David Bednar is a good pitcher.
Right.
And I think the one question you always have to ask, I think the Mets even have to ask this with Ryan Helsley, is how do guys react to different roles? Not just being in a new city with a lot of pressure, but David Bednar is a closer. He's been a closer most of his career. How would he react if Aaron Boone used him in the 6th or 7th or 8th inning? And that's the unknown. Like, I looked at his career numbers to see if there's any differences in when he comes in earlier in games. There's nothing that's noticeable. But that's the only question you have. As long as he can get guys out and everyone can be amenable to just getting outs whenever Aaron Boone asks, then you play the matchups and you use, you know, kind of the guy that makes sense that night.
And how about all the crossover, all the arms, New York and Pittsburgh? Aaron Rodgers is there. Now Bednar, Russell Wilson, and Fields are here. Who's going to be the most successful, Evan?
Of those guys?
Yeah.
David Bednar?
Yeah, me too.
I mean, if you want me to be honest with you, Russ is only here for a year, no offense. The Aaron Rodgers thing will be a disaster. I'm hopeful about Justin Fields, but I'm not an idiot. So, yes, I think if we're sitting here 8 years from now saying which of those guys contributed more, David Bednar would be my answer. Let's go to JR in Somerville. What's going on, JR?
Yo, what's going on, guys? Great job today. This is a great day to be a New York sports fan. All right, so a couple points. I have a Giants question. Maybe you can ask Joe Shane. But regarding the starting pitching, I mean, there's not a guy that is listed that I trust to get through a lineup two times in the playoffs. So I think that's what's going on right now is that why would you give up a player for somebody the analytics are going to tell you to take out on that third time through? So that's the first thing. The second thing is great job by Stearns and to a lesser extent Epler, because I think that we still have some players from Epler's days that we can move, Clifford, Acuna, et cetera. And I hate to say it right now, but there's a rumor going around my guy, Adolis Garcia, may be coming to the Mets. Now, if you can move a couple of
Hold on. You've been obsessed with this, JR, and I respect it about Adolis Garcia being a Met target. Where are you hearing
it's
that?
It's the guy on Twitter.
And, why is he your guy?
Mike Rodriguez.
Because last night he hit a bomb late to win a game.
I know, but the guy scares
people.
I'm not against it. It's just that I don't see why that would happen right now. Like, they're in a pennant race.
Yeah, and the tweet starts with breaking news, B-R-A-K-I-N-G. Can we get that right before we take the tweet seriously?
From Sean Marash, who screws up everywhere
Not
on
me.
Twitter.
Yeah, those are my people.
So we're citing fake news, and thank you for the call, JR. We're citing fake news stories on the Mets trading for Adolis Garcia.
By the way, I don't think that was intentional.
What do you mean, what was intentional?
The misspelling. That was intentional.
Why? What am I missing?
Because you're going to read it as breaking, but it's really breaking. Like, stop. It's not really happening.
It's
a troll.
Yeah, it's a troll.
Mets chain took it. I saw it in there. They took the cheese.
No, they didn't.
I saw it in the Mets text chain.
That's not the Mets. First of all.
Is that your wife, Tyler?
Absurd what Tommy Lugauer just did to Evan Roberts.
He just touched my phone.
I put my finger in my mouth before I put it there. I washed my hands.
I know, but you don't touch another human's phone.
No, I didn't. I didn't touch your wife. I touched your phone.
It is.
Is it in there, Tiki?
It is in the Mets.
Thank you, Tiki.
The breaking news, B-R-A-K.
They took the cheese. Hoffman took the cheese on Twitter.
Oh, really?
So I've been going through it because Hold on, time out.
We are on WFAN. We're still respected to a degree, you know, at some point. Are we really citing a fake news story? I never cited it.
A caller
cited it. Now you guys are saying, it's out there.
I saw it 20 minutes ago. Didn't bring it to the air because I know it's not a real report.
Okay.
Yeah. Believe me.
And I'm not telling
Trust what's coming out of this desk, okay?
I'm not telling you I'm against Adolis Garcia. I just don't think he's getting traded. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, wow.
What?
I'm just kidding.
You can't do that on the trade deadline. You can't give me all. Wait, I'm just kidding. Let's go to, you know what? I got to get to this guy because he's made a promise to his family and to us that this guy I'm going to go to will call every day screaming that the Yankees should trade for Stephen Kwan. So, Tom in Cornwall, I know this is the thing you look forward to most every single day. The floor is yours to make the case.
Listen, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. The commitment and dedication as I stand on the train going home from the Yankee game soaking wet while my wife is mad at me because I'm on the phone just to get the point across to get Stephen Kwan. So I'm a school teacher, so I got nothing to do until September. I'll just sit every day until we get Stephen Kwan. I know it's probably far-fetched at this point, but I'm committed. I'm dedicated. And I'm waiting until it happens. I just don't want him to go to the Dodgers.
Well, I respect you, and thank you for the call.
Me.
By the way, this is the second guy, and thank you, Tom, who has called us up today, driving home from Yankee Stadium. The Yankee game has not even been postponed. It is currently in a rain delay.
Yes, for an hour. That's a trade deadline.
They have a trade deadline clock on the S
Network. It has been delayed for about an hour.
It has been delayed. It is an official game, so at any moment they could say, hey, we're not restarting, and the New York Yankees would win because they're leading 7-4 in the bottom of the fifth inning. But it seems like no one has remained at Yankee Stadium. So here's what I'll say.
Well, as soon as it started raining, the bowl emptied. It was empty.
Well, no, but you can go back to the club or hang out in the corridor. If you are currently at Yankee Stadium, and you're able to get through to us, we have very busy phone lines today, but if you're somehow able to get through, we will let you jump the line and hear from you live from Yankee Stadium. But it doesn't feel like anybody's there anymore.
Oh, look, there's the shot.
Yeah.
Well, no, but the shot, Sean, Tiki did the same thing. Yeah. The shot of an empty bowl doesn't mean no one's there. No one's sitting outside.
No, but it doesn't even look. It looks like it's not. There's nobody there.
I guess
King Judge's chambers to have some people in it because it's in the
because they're undercover.
They're undercover.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that,
I actually think they're going to finish this game too.
You think so?
If you look at the radar, it looks like we're going to get like a 2-hour window and then walloped again.
Here's the issue. So my understanding is the umpires make the call on this.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure they're talking to the commissioner and they're talking to the Yankees. They're talking to the Rays. If you're the Rays, obviously you want to restart the game. If you're the Yankees,
you want it over.
Because you win. So if you're the Yankees, you're like, I don't want to play again.
Well, let's get Bednar in here to close it out.
I don't think he could technically do that,
Oh,
Sean.
No? Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Not to get in the weeds on that. But I don't know what they're going to do. Because there's a part of baseball that wants to play the nine innings. Mm-hmm. But then you're keeping Tampa Bay here. Now, the Yankees are not. No, the Yankees are traveling.
Yeah.
They're going to Miami.
And Tampa's going to Tampa.
It's not that crazy of a trip.
No, we do it all the time.
Yeah. I don't know how long they'll wait, but you're saying there's a window at 7 o'clock?
It looks like it. Again, if you look at all the radar that's flashing by, it looks like you're going to stop and then get more rain again at 9 o'clock.
I have a crazy question. We have had such a fun time here at Giant Camp. We're going to talk to Joe Shane in a few minutes. Sean almost urinated himself when he met Jackson Dart, so it's been a great day.
What? That's not what you do when you're excited.
Yes, it is.
Well, we can't say the other thing.
Oh, I gotcha.
I'm not going. Do you guys, if they restart the game at 7, you guys want to head over to Yankee Stadium, watch the last 4 weeks?
No.
What do you mean, no?
I smell. I've been sweating all day. I've had it.
You'll fit in with everyone else there. It's Yankee Stadium after a 17-hour rain delay. Let's go to Duke in Edison, who is next up here on The Fan. What's up, Duke?
Yeah, the pitcher from Miami, Sandy, I don't know his last name. Why don't the Mets go after him? He's a starting pitcher.
Yep.
They need one.
Yes. So, Duke, thanks for the call. I think the Mets are going after Sandy Alcantara.
But so are the Yankees.
So are the Yankees. I think a lot of teams should because he's under team control. He's damn good. He's pitched better recently. I think the price tag's got to be really high. And let me phrase it this way. The Miami Marlins are run by idiots if the price tag isn't high. Because giving him away is stupid. Where's his value right now, considering he has a high 6 ERA? I don't know. But I think if the Yankees or the Mets get him, it's going to cost a lot. But I do think he'd eventually be worth it. Vinny is calling from Bergen County. What's going on, Vinny?
Hey, Evan. First, I want to thank you for confirming a suspicion I've always had that people who are really into sports have terrible taste in music.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Emo rock.
You got it. You're right.
That's not why I called. I think we're all expecting way too much from Cashman, and I don't even mean that with trades. I think just in general, people in power, we know this, especially men, will rarely admit they're wrong. If you send Volpe down, that means you're wrong. If you trade Dominguez, I was wrong. So, you know, the guy at the Coldplay concert is blaming the band, and he's on video. So we're not going to get Cashman or Boone to ever admit they're wrong about anything. They'll dance around it for decades.
So here's the thing. Thanks for the call.
Good lesson in psychology.
In the Volpe case, I totally get it. Like, it would be admitting you're wrong. I really respect Brian Cashman because he has admitted he's wrong. I think that is an important trait. I don't think enough people are capable of admitting they're wrong. Sean does not admit he's wrong.
Hold on. Whoa.
Tiki does. Mm-hmm. Like, Tiki is, like, it doesn't happen often, but he'll say, hey, I got that one wrong.
Oh, I was wrong. I was going to admit I was wrong about Brian Cashman.
No, I'm saying you never admit that you're wrong.
Why do I have this label? I'm the first one to admit I'm
okay.
wrong.
Brian Cashman, I think, has. Now, in this Volpe case, I can see why. Well, they play him every day. They refuse to admit it. The guy went out and basically said, Sonny Gray can't handle New York. We're going to trade him. That's after trading for him not too far earlier. Like, that's the definition of admitting you're wrong.
I was wrong.
So, I think he has admitted he's wrong. So I kind of disagree overall with his opinion. Do you think Joe Shane admits he's wrong?
He kind of does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a process for him.
He cut Daniel Jones, so he admitted he was wrong.
Right. Well, I think Daniel kind of wanted to get cut.
That's true.
Astros aren't done, by the way. Jesus Sanchez, outfielder from the Marlins.
All right, little minor moves.
Yeah, get a lefty bat.
So Astros, no starting pitchers. We've seen a lot of moves, but the starters remain kind of held. We got a lot more on this trade deadline, more reaction to what's happening, what may happen, what's already happened. We'll talk to you at 888-808-1019. When we come back, we will talk to the general manager of the New York Football Giants, Joe Shane. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. Town Fair Tire is Connecticut's largest name brand discount tire dealer. And with Town Fair Tire, you get the guaranteed lowest prices on all name brand tires. And they honor all manufacturers' rebates. They even honor competitors' rebates with more than 100 stores from Connecticut to New England and an inventory of over 600,000 tires. So why would you go anywhere else? Name brands and discount prices, Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We are live from Giant training camp, and joining us right now, the general manager of the New York Football Giants, Joe Shane. Joe, thank you very much for coming on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Did you build a playoff team?
We're just trying to get through every day healthy and, you know, continue to get better each day. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
We had Jackson Dart on, and we were talking about when he knew that he was going to get drafted by you all, by us. And he said he felt it a couple of weeks prior. When did you know that you were going to make that move? It was a bold move.
Yeah, everybody talks about the timing of, you know, as we went through the process. And it was difficult this year because of the way some of the pro days lined up. Mm-hmm. And you're at a little bit of the mercy of the schools. You're at the mercy of the agents. When can we work them out privately? When is the pro day? And, you know, there was late pro days and stuff like that. So we didn't have all the information. So we really couldn't, you know, take all the information into account and have those meetings till mid-April to late April up before the draft, just because the way the calendar worked out this year. But, you know, good thing with him was he played in the Senior Bowl. So we were able to meet with him there. The coaches had an early exposure to him. You know, we were able to evaluate his film before he got there. We had some coaches that coached in the game. And then another touch point at the combine. And then, you know, you continue to go through the process at the end of the day.
Right.
You know, he's a guy we ended up really liking.
So 2 drafts ago, it was all J.J. McCarthy, J.J. McCarthy. And I told these guys, that's a smart screen. It's nonsense. The Giants are putting it out there just to throw people off their scent. It kind of felt that way this year because you were always out in Colorado. You were always seeing Shedeur Sanders. How did you know that Jackson Dart was he top on the list?
Yeah, we go through this process, and unfortunately we've had to do it, you know, 3 or 4, right. You know, whatever, and we did it. Dabes and Shea were part of the process in Buffalo with Josh Allen, so we've been through it. So it really is like you got to go start to finish. Mm-hmm. Like you got to go all the way through it because the film may be one thing until you get these guys and you meet with them and, you know, you see what they see, what happened. You know, you may think it was a bad read, bad interception when come to find out the guy ran the wrong route. So you got to get into the weeds with these guys and the coaches. So as we went through the process, like he checked all the boxes. And at the end of the day, you know, the fact that we were able to get Abdul, be able to get Jackson Dart and mm-hmm. still keep that 65th pick, you know, We're really happy the way it worked out.
I'm going to give you an analogy. So Tiki and I do the show together. There's a day in which I'm like, we're going to open with the Mets. And Tiki's like, no, we're not. We're going to open with the Giants. And we argue about it, and then we come to a decision. Usually Tiki gets his way. There are reports, and this is why I'm asking, that you and Brian Daboll disagreed on the quarterback you wanted. Is that true?
No. And again, like I know there's that narrative out there, but you're not going to trade up into the first round for any player as the general manager if you have control of 53 and you don't like the player. So we went through the process. It was collaborative. Those decisions make you feel really good when it's an organizational decision and everybody's on board. So, you know, we got a really good offensive staff. You know, Kafka, the quarterbacks he's worked with, Dayball's history, Shea Tierney, a lot of confidence in them and a lot of confidence in our process and what we put these kids through. And, you know, Jackson stood out throughout that process.
So was it close? Because, like, Tiki mentioned Shedeur Sanders and the interest. He ends up dropping crazily. But was it like, this is close? Jackson has the edge. We're going to draft him. But was it a tough decision?
Yeah, Jackson was the guy at the end of the day. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into the details or all that. We just got an extensive process, and we have a lot of faith in that process and believe in the process that we put these kids through. And, you know, it's been proven to work in the past. So when we went through it, Jackson's a guy that, you know, we're happy that we have. And, you know, again, I'd rather talk about the players that we have here on the team versus other guys that are on other teams. So I'm happy he's here. He's had a really good week this week. You can continue to see him grow and get better each day. So, you know, we're really happy that we were able to get him.
Let's skip up the draft and go to Abdul Carter. No brainer. Was that was easy?
Felt like it. You
right.
never know. Like,
right,
you never know. They're always you know, you try to eliminate the margin for error, but was able to see him play live twice. He's a guy that ever since his freshman year, as you're watching Penn State, like 11 just showed up. Maybe it's because the number 11 right. or whatever it was, but he always moved at a different speed than everybody else on the college film from the minute he stepped on Penn State's campus. So he was a guy we evaluated last year off the ball. moved on the ball this year or last year for Penn State. And, you know, again, the two games I was at, just his explosiveness off the ball, his ability to bend, chase, run. Like he's different. He moves different.
Right. You see that. And it's interesting you say that because that's what I always look for. That's the only thing I care about. I'm not a scout. I don't dig into the film like that. But if a guy shows up when I'm watching him,
yeah,
you can't help but get enamored. That was him consistently.
Him, yeah, when you're not evaluating him,
right,
you can't help but notice him.
Right.
Like those guys jump off the film, and he was one of those guys. And he's had a really good camp here. He's got, you know, it's a strong room between the outside linebacker room and the D-line room. Some really good vets to learn from, leaders. So he's had a really good camp, and, you know, look forward to him continue to get better each week.
All right, now go ahead.
No, I was just saying, and I think Giant fans are really excited that they were able to walk away with Abdul Carter, you guys did, and Jackson Dart. We argued about this a ton on the show, about the idea of quarterbacks and going in the top five. From executive's point of view, do you think the NFL needs a draft lottery so you guys have to stop sweating this out in December when you need a quarterback?
No, I mean, you earn the pick, so I guess you should get it. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, we earned the third pick. You don't want to be picking there, but that's the way it went. You know, we're able to benefit because of, I mean, if you think about it, last year being six and this year three, two really good players.
Right.
You know, I think Abdul is going to be a really good player for a long time in this league, and then Malik Nabers, I'd put him in that same category. Yeah.
Now, outside of the first-round picks, the other thing that Giant fans think about most, maybe even before the first-round picks, is the offensive line. Andrew Thomas is banged up. We'll get an update, I'm sure, at some point. But was there anything else you thought you could do with the offensive line this offseason, including in the draft? I mean, I like them both, but
yeah,
outside of that.
You're always looking. And, you know, whether it's through free agency, again, you're at the mercy of what's available. You know, what year you're a free agent and mm-hmm. who's available. And then when they hit the market, you got to take everything into account. Injury, character, price point, all those things. So you can't force it. You know, sometimes in free agency, you can really overpay.
Right.
You know, if you're desperate, and you know, you can get in trouble when you do that. And then through the draft, again, you don't want to reach. You want to let the board talk to you and take the players at the right value. And that's why you have all those meetings and you have a thorough process. And our scouts do a phenomenal job. And we spent a lot of time setting the board and trying to get the value right. So when we were able to get Bo in the fifth, I know it was the fifth round. Maybe that's not sexy, but, you know, there's a lot of good players that have come in the fifth round before.
Right. And this was a deep O-line draft.
Deep O-line draft, and he's a guy we liked, another guy we spent a lot of time on, and he's had a good camp. You know, he's playing right and left tackle. He's got really good feet. He's athletic. You know, we knew we were going to move Evan inside, so, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people talk about the guard position and,
right.
and all that stuff, and if maybe you do sign somebody, then you water that, you know, maybe Evan doesn't have the same opportunities as maybe you'd like him to get inside.
Right, since you brought it up, I'll go there. Evan Neal, I mean, he hasn't played guard in a long time, since his days in college, but physically, he could fit the role. I mean, he might be a little tall, but you can get away with that. Mekhi Becton was tall, and he was great for the Eagles a year ago, as we all know. So what can we expect from him? I know he's taking some starting reps, but he's not really a starter yet, but still Van Rotten. But how do you get into his mind to get him up to speed to potentially start at guard?
Yeah, first off, I'm really proud of Evan. You know, he's been through a lot, you know, drafted where he was drafted. And, you know, we won a lot of games with him his rookie year.
Right.
And he battled through injuries year two. And, you know, again, last year was slow to start in camp. And Jermaine had the job. So I'm proud of him. You know, he's resilient. He's been working hard. He was open to moving inside to guard for us. And, you know, I believe you said it yesterday. Things happen a little bit quicker. Guys get on you. Mm-hmm. But he's so big. He's so strong. He's got really good length. And he can move people. And that's really what stood out so far this camp. Just watching him today when he was in there, I haven't watched the whole practice yet, but just, you know, the reps where I was watching him, and he's just so massive and can create movement and, you know, firm pocket in the pass game. So I'm pleased with where he is in the transition. You know, I'm excited to see him in these preseason games versus other teams and see how he does. But I'm proud of him. I like where he is. Like, he's had a really good camp this far, and, you know, the kid can be a starting guard in this league.
Right. Can this save his career, basically?
Yeah, I mean, again, he's doing everything right, and he looks really good right now. He's only, I believe, 25 years old. So,
right,
I mean, the guy has a long career ahead of him. He's too big. He's athletic. He's long. He's strong, and he's wired the right way. So,
we saw a couple good safeties on this team leaving free agency, Julian Love, Xavier McKinney. And then this year we come in, Javon Holland. You guys signed him to a big deal. What about Javon Holland attracted you guys in free agency, knowing that the Giants had spent at safety under your regime the past couple
Yeah, he's a guy that we liked back when I was in Buffalo coming out of the draft. You know, we had talked about him in the conversation. Hey, if Russo's not there, like, is he maybe a guy that we talk about late one, early two, and spend a lot of time with him. So when you're going through free agency and you take all things into account, including the character and leadership, you know, we were able to see a lot of that when he was coming out. So we had a good feel for the type of kid that we were getting. And Chris Rossetti, our director of pro scouting, was down in Miami too. So, again, when the time's right to acquire players, like, as you're building it and – you're trying to put the pieces together. It's not that I'm against paying any position, but there's a time when it's right when you're going to allocate resources to certain positions. And, you know, when he was available this offseason, you know, we thought right. it was a really good value where we were able to get him in terms of his APY. And honestly, we're a little bit surprised he was still out there, you know, when we were able to get the right. deal done. I think it was Tuesday evening. So excited to get him. His communication has really stood out. You know, him and Newbin. Newbin's really taken a big step year two. He's more comfortable back there. So the communication on the back end, you hear the guys on the defensive line, the linebackers talking about it. The continuity due to the communication from those two guys. And he can also help Newbin, you know, down the right. road. Like, this guy's going into his fifth year. He's been a true pro. He's played at a high level. So it's really good, the multiplier effect that these young guys will get to learn from some of the vets that we brought in. Will make them better in the long run as well.
We're talking to Joe Shane, general manager of the New York Giants. I think the biggest question we're going to face on Sports Talk Radio, you're going to face, is when do you pull the trigger and start Jackson Dart? How do you make that decision?
Yeah, and that just lean on Dave's and the coaching staff on that. But Russ has had a great spring. He's had a really good camp so far too. So I'm excited about Russ and where he is. He's mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys saw him. Maybe he's down in weight.
Yeah.
He looks good running around out there. He's faster. He looks quicker than he was a year ago. And I know you guys just talked to Jackson, but you know, the ability to come in the building every day and learn from a guy like Russ or Jameis and even Tommy. Tommy's been in the offense for 3 years, so he actually knows it better than, you know, the three guys that are here. So when the time's right, you know, he'll get his opportunity to play if it happens to be this year. I know.
Do you think it will be this year? If you had to guess,
I mean,
do you want it to be this year? That's the real
answer. Is he hopes not?
Yeah, I mean,
do you want?
I think Russ is going to come in and play well. I believe Russ, from what he's shown us this spring, what he's shown throughout his career, the leadership that he's shown and displayed, not just on the offense but the entire team. So again, for somebody to sit and watch that for a year, so then when they come in, okay, now you know how to study the week of a game. You know how to evaluate the point. You know how to watch film. We all watch film, but do you know, you actually know what you're watching? So when the coaches are up and they're not around, and you can sit there next to Russell Wilson, Jameis, Tommy, guys who have been around, and learn actually what you're looking at and tendencies and stuff like that.
We spent so much time speculating what you were thinking about during the offseason. When you signed Jameis Winston, did you in the back of your mind know, we're also going to add a veteran like Russ, we're going to try, we're also going to draft a quarterback, or was it protection in case it didn't work out? Take me through kind of the order of when you signed these veterans and what was going through your mind when you did it.
Yeah, and everybody just assumes you call somebody and you get a deal done, and it's done. It's just like that. So, I mean, the negotiations were on parallel track. So, you know, Russell's deal took probably 2 weeks. We brought him in on a visit and didn't get the deal done for probably two more weeks. So there's a lot of back and forth. And then, you know, we entertained Jameis as well, had him in, and it took 4 or 5 days. So we were trying to get both those guys done at the same time. Just the timing of it, you know, we ended up getting Jameis's deal done before we did Russell's. But, you know, we were in negotiations with both those guys at the same time.
Did Russ, because he knows, I mean, you drafted a quarterback in the first round. He knew that was a possibility. Did he ever ask specific questions about, am I guaranteed a year? Like, did he ask about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and it's one of those deals. We would not guarantee anybody that we wouldn't draft the quarterback.
Right.
There were a couple people at that position in free agency said, hey, if you don't promise you won't take a quarterback in the first round, then just don't even.
That guy's Aaron Rodgers, right?
Don't even enter. No.
That's what Aaron said?
No. It was don't even entertain us, but that's legit. So, like, oh, why didn't they go after X, Y, and Z? Well, we're not going to promise that because I don't know who's going to be there. We don't know how the draft's going to unfold. I'm never going to do that promise and, you know, then break a promise or whatever. So, you know, there were players that did that. So we shot everybody straight. Like, listen, we don't know what's going to happen in the draft. Again, when we signed these guys, it's mid-March. We hadn't even, you know, Dayball hadn't even seen some of the guys throw yet in person. We hadn't had private workouts with them. Some of them hadn't been in our building yet. So we approached it as if, like, hey, we're not going to draft the quarterback, and it's okay if we don't.
Yeah, let me ask you a higher-arching question. We remember in 2022 when you and Dave's were in your first year, we knew what the identity was. It was, we're going to play smart football, right? I remember the Daniel Jones make better bleeping decisions in that first game against Minnesota. Tennessee.
Tennessee.
And it helped, right? It created an identity. Win games at the end. Play it close, win games at the end by making plays. What's going to be the identity of this team? If I had to guess, I'd say it's what you guys have done defensively. Right? You've built a front that has three really good pass rushers. That's assuming Abdul Carter turns into the player everybody expects. Dex is in the middle. You obviously put some depth there as well at the defensive line. You got a pretty good second level. And then all this focus we talk about, draft last year in the secondary, obviously free agency with Paulson Adebo as well in the secondary. Is the identity going to be kind of old school, giant, kick-ass defense?
Yeah, and that's starting to take shape now. Right. As we're going through it, some of the pieces are new. We're trying to feel them out, how we're going to utilize. You've seen Abdul move around a lot. But, yeah, I mean, defensively, I expect us to be physical and fast and, fly to the football and, again, just not kill it, not beat ourselves on offense. That's what's happened the last couple of years with penalties, turnovers, whatever it may be. Just we've really been harping the details. Dave's has been right all over that, whether it's false starts, offsides, missed assignments, not
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Running to the ball. So again, we're going to do the small things right, not beat ourselves. And what I'm most excited about is some of the new leaders that we added, and then just what that looks like right now from a chemistry standpoint as they start to come together as a team. But I think defensively, that would definitely be part of our identity.
We're talking to Joe Shane. Last year, end of the season, obviously disappointing year. The owner, Mr. John Mara, says, I better be in a better mood next year. Do you ever ask him, what does that mean? What that means for him to be in a better mood and you guys to be safe for another year or two or three?
Yeah, we won three games, so I'm with him.
So you got to win more games.
Yeah, I would like to be in a better mood next year too. So, three games is not good enough. It's not good enough. And, that's our job to put a team together on the field, and Dave's and the coaching staff to coach them. And, we had what we thought was a productive offseason, and, we've got continuity amongst the staff. Some of these first-year players that are going into year two, I think you're going to see a jump in year two. But, I'm with John. I don't need to ask him what that means. I totally get it.
Do you think you're on the hot seat?
I can't worry about that. You got to control what you can control. I think all of us have been told that since we were a kid. I tell my kids that.
Right.
So if you're focused on something that you can't control, you're taken away from what's most important. And to me, that's building the best team here for 2025 and beyond. And focus on the plan that's in place and do my job the best I can to help the franchise and get Dave all the players that he needs in order to have success. So that's my focus. That's my staff's focus. And I know that's Dave Ball's focus
right
too.
The pressure to be successful, it's here, whether you feel it or not, or whether you ignore it or not, doesn't matter. But there genuinely is an enthusiasm. Like, I felt that the first day I came over here. Where does that come from? Is it coming from the players? Is it coming from, I think a lot of it is Dave, to be honest with you, but where is that coming from?
Yeah, Dave's is in a great space right now. Obviously, he's always got energy. He's had a lot of energy out there, and I think it's some of the new faces. Like, we were a young team last year, specifically in the secondary and some of the defensive spots, and, that's my fault. We needed more leadership back there, and, I think with Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland adding those guys, Chauncey Golson, the outside backer group.
Right.
So, again, then, now you got Dexter, going into, what is he, 6, 7 years? Burns more comfortable year two. So, and then the addition of Russ and Jameis, just having, the leadership from that position that those guys have provided has been really good. And again, I think some of these kids look up to those guys.
Right.
They're probably sitting on the couch when, as kids, when Russ is playing in the Super Bowl. So, they've listened to him. He's got him and Jameis both have a way of saying the right things, and they've got a ton of knowledge and experience in this league. So, that's been really cool to see.
Yeah. It's interesting because I keep hearing this from you and hear it in your answers. You're still learning at this gig. And how have you changed from year one to now year four?
Yeah, the biggest thing is you're always evaluating. You're always evaluating yourself, the decisions. Why did we do that? Why didn't we do that? Oh, yeah, we had this information. There's a lot that goes into this. And, the hardest part I tell my friends is we got to wait 9 months to get that taste out of our mouths after, walking off the field in Philadelphia as a 3-win team. And you don't know how it's going to play out. You make moves that you like. You like the guys. And then you also got to get lucky and have health. So you're trying to put this plan together, and there's a lot of stuff that's out of your control. There's a lot that's in the control, but there's also some out of the control. So you're always evaluating, what you hit on, what you missed on, why you did it, what was your thought process, and see it through. And, I said in one of my press conferences, I wasn't going to do a Hail Mary or anything like that to set the franchise back. We just, if I worried about you know, the stuff that you asked me earlier, like, then your focus is the wrong place. We just put our heads down, rolled up our sleeves, and went to work this offseason, and we were able to get some good players, you know, a good value that are the right type of guys that fit this organization, and, you know, fill some voids that we had. So, again, I'm excited about the group. I'm excited about the team, the chemistry, you know, the energy that you feel right. this far, and hopefully we can stay healthy and see the fruits of the labor come through.
Let's hope so, Joe. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
Joe Shane, general manager of the New York Football Giants, Evan Atiki from Giant Camp. That was Joe Shane, general manager, kind enough to give us a couple of minutes on what has turned into a rainy, windy, lightning-filled Thursday afternoon. The Yankees are still in the midst of a rain delay. They've also made trades today. The Yankees have acquired Jake Bird from the Colorado Rockies relief pitcher. They've acquired David Bednar from the Pittsburgh Pirates closer, the New York Mets. We know about what they did last night in acquiring Ryan Helsley and acquiring Tyler Rogers. They also just acquired Cedric Mullins, center fielder of the Baltimore Orioles. So a very active trade deadline thus far. You know, I mentioned Bird's struggles recently earlier, if you missed it. Cedric Mullins, since late June, is hitting .290 with an .837 OPS. All right. And the reality is, when you bring in a rental, it is not about what a guy will do over a full year. It's, can you get hot for me for 2 months? And that's the position that the Mets are in with the three guys they acquired. They're all rental players. They all got to get hot at the right time.
Yeah.
They get hot at the right time. We'll be talking about these trades decades from now.
Right. And just like we talk about with Ryan McMahon, bringing into an expectation, a tire, a team that believes that they're going to go far, sometimes you rise with them. And so hopefully for Cedric Mullins and for the Mets, that continues to be the case.
Do you feel with the Yankees, we now have an hour and 12 minutes before the trade deadline, no starting pitchers have been traded outside of Shane Bieber. He is the only one. If I'm missing somebody, let me know. He is the only starting pitcher that's been dealt. We still hear Dylan Cease is out there. Merrill Kelly is out there. Sandy Alcantara is out there. Do they need a starting pitcher for this trade deadline to be a success?
It would make it feel more like the going to town that Brian Cashman talked about.
Boy, he's never going to live this down.
Course, he said it. It's not my fault. By the way, J.P. Sears was a starting pitcher. He was traded as well.
That is true. Technically, you're right.
Technically. But
we forget about it because he was in the Mason Miller trade, so it's really Mason Miller.
Right.
But you're right. Yes, J.P. Sears was traded.
Does he need a Sandy Alcantara trade in order to feel like he did what he said he was going to do at the trade deadline? Probably. But do I think that's going to happen? No, because of what you just are alluding to, Evan. There just hasn't been a lot of starting pitcher movement. Now, part of that is the price, as we've talked about. Another part might be what I said a little bit earlier, which is teams are realizing that starting pitching is not worth spending a ton of your prospect capital for, especially if they're only going to go four innings for you. And so the reliever market has been the hottest part of this trade deadline, probably for a reason.
Here's what I think is going to happen. Okay, so far the starting pitching market has not heated up. We only have an hour left, so when's it going to heat up? I think that these guys are going to be traded. I think it's just last-second sells, and I think the reason why the starters haven't gone is, A, there's just not a lot of starters available.
Right.
B, I think the price tags have been really, really high, and I think the closer you get to 6 o'clock, you either got to bleep or get off the pot. I mean, we're hearing that the Astros, who have been very active today, they brought back Carlos Correa, if you're just tuning in, amongst other deals, but that's certainly the highlight, that they're trying to add a starter. So unless we think the Padres are holding on to Cease, the Marlins are holding on to Alcantara, the Diamondbacks are holding on to both Kelly and Gallen, I would think these guys are going to get moved. The question is for who and what. And I think what's also tough, and the Mets have dealt with this at the trade deadline, is a lot of teams around the Mets are also getting better. Like the Philadelphia Phillies have had a very good trade deadline. They added a closer in Duran. They added Harrison Bader, who we all obviously know well. But the Padres have been active. That's the team the Mets would face in the playoffs if the season ended today. Same thing is kind of happening with the Yankees. The Mariners, I think the team you would face if the season ended today, they've gone out and added Eugenio Suarez.
And Naylor.
And Josh Naylor. The Blue Jays, division rival, go add Shane Bieber. And the Astros, who will always be in the back of your mind as a team you may have to go through, they've been really aggressive. Does that kind of impact how you feel about the deadline?
Yes and no, because the Yankees have been aggressive. As much as I want to crush Brian Cashman, Ryan McMahon counts. And that felt empty, and I'm going to be screaming and yelling if Suarez hits 15 home runs in a series versus the Yankees that they didn't get him. But McMahon, Rosario, you could make the case of all these big relievers that have gone, the Yankees, for what they gave up and what they got, probably have made the best deal for a reliever in getting Bednar. And you added Jake Bird. Like, I can't believe I'm going to say these words. I'm satisfied with what Brian Cashman has done at this trade deadline.
So if nothing
happens.
But
it's not going to town.
It's not going to town, but I'm also not. If this is all they do and the clock strikes 6 o'clock, I cannot, as a Yankee fan, scream and yell and think Brian Cashman didn't do his job to make this team prohibitively better than it was 2 weeks ago.
How we feeling, Yankee fans? You agree with that? What we'll do is we'll come back and get to your phone calls, Yankee fans' thoughts on this deadline, and if anything else needs to happen, same with Met fans, 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Also, we will talk to Abdul Carter and Malik Nabers coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. So a ton to do as we broadcast live from Giants camp on this incredibly busy, rainy Thursday in New York City.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.